man sitting to my right. He used to be the drummer of the band, made a transition to being lead vocalist, three-time Grammy nominated, nothing more, Johnny Hawkins. How you doing today, man?
Good. Hell of an introduction there. Thank you.
Well, I'm actually just happy that you showed up with a shirt on today. I don't think I would have been able to match your physique. That's later on tonight the shirt comes off. Is that
the
plan?
This is my alter ego right now. Yeah. This is called Normal Citizen.
I was prepared. If I had to take the shirt off, I was prepared.
Oh, okay. All
Maybe right. towards the end of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to match up, but I felt it would have been awkward, you know?
We'll see how the interview goes.
Yeah, okay. You know? Maybe just socks off, right? We go barefoot.
Start there, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll work our way up. So obviously you guys are on a massive North American tour in support of the new album. It was released late 2022, Spirits. What's the tour been like so far for you guys?
It's been a whirlwind right out the gate. I didn't know what to expect with this tour. Once we came out of COVID, everything's kind of been up for grabs. We've kind of been crawling back to where we were before. It just took such a hit in momentum. But then we came out the gate, the first show, and there was a sold out show. And then the last two have been sold out, and just everybody's going crazy. So, excuse me, that's part of what you hear right there.
I was going to say,
I've been screaming and going wild on stage.
Well,
so,
if anybody's seen, you know, your guys' performances,
right,
they know that you give her, right? You go for it.
Yeah,
every
I leave it all on stage. That's for sure.
I was going to talk about, you know, with COVID, it was such a weird time, obviously, you know, of not performing. Maybe doing little bits here and there. Maybe it was Facebook Live. Maybe it was Instagram Live. That first show, what was that like? Was there anxiety? Was it excitement? Was it a mix of both?
Yeah, it's always like the first one's always quite a mix of nerves and, you know, riding the bike again kind of a thing. But once you get that first one out of the way, it's like everything just feels right.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just all the nerves leading up to it.
No, totally fair. And Spirits, obviously, really incredible album. Really, I found it to be quite emotional at times, and hoping to chat about a few of the songs with you, one of which being the other F word. And am I getting this correctly with that being about your late mother?
Yeah, that was where the inspiration started. Mm-hmm. And you know, some of the lyrics you've heard, you kind of picked up on that, like her voice was kind of ringing in my ears, just things that she had told me when I was a child that I didn't really think into at the time. And then years later, as an adult dealing with real life and challenges, her voice would just kind of come back in my head, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember her saying this, or to look out for that, or beware of this and these type of people, and like just kind of how to judge people's character and know who's for you and against you, things like that. And I felt like we just went through a time period where her voice echoing just like how to look out for snakes. And like, I feel like we've gone through a time of a lot of fakeness.
Snakes isn't like people, you
mean?
Yeah,
people. Yeah. I feel like people, just things have been very fake for quite some time. Like people, just a lot of virtue signaling and people acting like they're moral, but really it's all just kind of a veneer, you know? So it's just like, it's led me even to look at myself, you know, where I've been fake, you know, and tried to come across as a better person than I am, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of led me down this path, and that that's where that song kind of started, and we just dove deeper with that thought.
Well, was it? I assume there's other times you've written about your mother, and but was something like that, and you know, being very outward with it being about her and her, was that therapeutic for you on this album?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think all of our music's pretty cathartic and therapeutic for me, just to kind of get it out. I think even, you know, I would just say this for anyone, you know, even if you're not an artist or a musician, just putting things into words, you know, whether it's on paper or through therapy or something like that, sometimes it just, it makes it real and tangible, and then you can do something with it, you know?
Yeah, well, it spoke to me. So my mother just actually had a battle with cancer. And beat it, which is great. She came out the other side,
great.
And you know, it was it's a wild battle, obviously. I mean, for her emotionally, physically, on the other side, very much so. So when I was reading that, and obviously knowing about, you know, your past and with your mother, it just, I know, it just hit me in a way. And when you, as you were talking about it right there, and you're talking about hearing the voices, you know, in your head and some of the things that, I don't know, it just, it spoke to me. And I feel like that's true with a lot of your music. And it's the emotion. You can feel the emotion. You can feel the passion, the enthusiasm, the sadness. It just either jumps off the page, or when you're watching the video or you're watching the live performance, the emotion is so raw. I have to imagine, you know, it's not necessarily planned, but it just, you can't help yourself.
I mean, I'm glad that it translates that way, you know, because I think just since I was young, I've always kind of been a person who, when I felt something, I felt it extreme, like more than maybe the normal balanced person, you know. Like if I felt something great, it's amazing.
You know,
if
I feel something exactly bad,
it's, you know, you know, it's just something I've always felt that way. And so I've been fortunate to be able to be, have an outlet such as music where it actually works as a strength, you know, because in other areas of life, if you don't have a way to channel that and plug it in, you know, it could be to your detriment, you know? So yeah, definitely. I, whenever I have stuff in life, I just pour it into the music and try to take, you know, kind of like alchemy, just try to take the dark things and turn them into gold, you know?
Well, and, you know, not to, to continue to, you know, piggyback off of it, but I also struggle with depression and anxiety. And so hearing what you're saying, you know, I do a radio show, which is a bit of a smaller scale than jumping on stage. But I've said on air before that doing the shows and talking about those things is very therapeutic, sharing with people, talking with the listeners. And I have to imagine for you, there's no better therapy than getting on stage and just letting loose.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't realize that until when COVID happened, when it was taken away.
I could only imagine.
I guess for so long at that point, I had not lived a year without being on the road and having that outlet. So when it was kind of gone.
Yo, your whole routine,
was like, yeah, it just felt like things were getting bottled up and I was kind of just, you know, I don't know, exploding in weird ways and kind of lashing out here or there. Like my energy wasn't right, you know? Yeah. And then over time I was like, oh yeah, it's 'cause I'm like literally screaming every night and like sweating out like all these things. And I heard someone use this term one time. They were like, I guess, have you ever heard of scream therapy?
Okay.
It's just like, I guess it's literally you just going and just screaming, you know? And I thought about it. I was like, I do that every day, I guess, but I didn't think about it like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And I was like, oh, it does work because I do it. I just happen to do it on a stage with a little more organized, you know, format with songs, but there's like purpose and meaning in it, and I'm literally screaming. So it does seem to, it's like a primal release, you know?
And I find with my anxiety, routine is such a big thing that helps me lessen it and lower it, being in charge of that routine for myself.
And same, same.
I have to imagine that not having the routine of doing the shows or that's just not something you probably, you can't realize it until it gets stripped away. And how are we to know, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm thankful that I guess in a way that we went through it, even though I don't want to ever deal with that again.
You take little bits from it.
But what the silver lining for me was just, I wasn't ever a very grateful person, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I was more ambitious. I was always focused on accomplishment and gaining more, you know? So that really taught me to be grateful. I was like, oh, wow, like doing what we did, you know, touring and getting to sing with fans and be in all these different cities, it was more magical than I had appreciated because I was just so tired all the time from travel that I couldn't really be grateful for it, you know?
Yeah.
Now I am.
Enjoying that moment rather than looking like what's ahead, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That finish line is like, oh, just keep moving the goalposts almost. It's like, well, how about you sit in this for a second? And
yeah,
and
I always had a difficult time with that.
Yeah.
But so, now not so much.
Going back to, you know, mental health, you guys have become big advocates, big champions for mental health. And I was curious, obviously, with somebody who has battled it, and this goes back to family, you know, you obviously have the song Jenny, which talks about this, and you've talked about it with yourself as well. Was it always the plan to be champions and advocates, or does it just kind of happen and you go, Okay. Yeah. This is our calling. Like, you know, we've got to speak up a little bit here. I think some people need this.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't the plan.
Yeah.
I take that back. I think ever since day one, we started the band, I think I was in middle school. I was like in seventh grade. Yeah. And from day one, there was this kind of like purpose mindset. So I was raised very religious. I was raised in the church. Like, I grew up in a youth group. I played drums in the church band. Not very religious as an adult, but growing up in that kind of environment, like, they really instilled and like hammered down on purpose and meaning and like, you know, all these deeper things. And so I always felt like the music wasn't just music. It was something more, you know, like okay. it was spiritual, you know? So I always had that mindset. But then, as like you said, the song Jenny was just natural. It just came out because of my situation with my sister. But then once it did, I'll be honest, I'm no saint, you know, or whatever. I had no intention of helping anyone. I really didn't. Yeah. It was purely a selfish release.
Was it a light bulb moment of like,
but I did have this like river I had to cross where I was very afraid to release it. And I had to speak with my sister about it, you know, beforehand and make sure that we weren't doing more harm, because it's a pretty brutally honest song.
No doubt about it.
And I think that doing it, though, it was incredible. Like you said, there was a light bulb where it was like, oh, wow, this like ended up helping so many people. Not because I had the thought of helping people, but that I had to battle my own demons of being honest. Mm-hmm. You know, like so many times in life, we're just not honest about what's really going on, you know, and we don't want to say it and just really put it on the table. And just being honest, like, opened up this whole world, because people connect with honesty, you know, because they're like, oh, that's real.
Was that scary at first?
You know, it was very scary at first.
Heavy feeling, right? Of like, oh, I'm sure you started getting all these stories.
Oh, I had people telling me I was the worst person in the world, you know, and you know, I can't believe you'd release something like that about a family member. Yeah. And then, you know, like, there was all kinds of stuff. And even my sister, on a good day, she loved it. On a bad day, she thought it was the worst thing ever. So, there was all kinds of things that came with it. But again, like, I looked back and I'm like, it was that moment of like knowing what the truth was and whether I was going to put it out into the world or not.
Yeah.
And so I kind of learned from that. I'm like, oh, just be real, you know? And in today's world, that's always the challenge, is being real, I think.
For myself, within therapy, that was my, like, one of the first takeaways I had. It was like, oh, yeah, like, talking really helps. And like, getting this off my chest and off my head is actually like the first key in that first step.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard for a lot of people to realize until you are able to maybe it's not sitting in that chair. Maybe it's just talking with a friend. Right. But when you finally have that realization of, oh, the bottling up, like, this is what's really affecting me here. And people are more willing to listen. And I think it takes some time to realize that, but it's really valuable once you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, I can't speak for women, but I know for men especially, like, we bottle stuff up a lot.
We're supposed to, quote-unquote.
Stereotypically,
unquote, right?
Yeah, I think men have a harder time talking, whereas I think women are so good at, you know, communicating, you know, it's just more natural or something.
No, that's totally fair.
Like, it's like, for me, I feel like I have a more, like, art is kind of a more feminine thing, so I have, like, the communication side, but I feel like a lot of my buddies and stuff, it's not, like, natural for us to open up, like, always.
No, I know what you mean. I remember when I first started talking about it, I had one of my, like, actually, he was my best man at my wedding. He reached out and went, hey, you know, I actually also am dealing with depression. And it wasn't until he realized, like, oh, you are as well. We had never talked about it. Never had we ever talked about it. And we were best friends. And all of a sudden we're on the phone for like an hour going, oh, yeah, I deal with that too. And that was going to be one of my questions, as, you know, men in rock and roll, right? It's like, we're supposed to be hard, right? And it's partying and it's sex, drugs, this, that. It's not the norm to talk about the things that you guys are talking about. And I'll even notice that on, you know, our radio show, is sometimes, you know, you go, oh, should we talk about that, right? Should we get into that? Is that a little... And then you do it and you realize, yeah, there's more people who want to talk about it than you think. What, was that scary or was that, you know, nerve-wracking for you?
Well, yeah, I think it's a sensitive area because you can very quickly go from being authentic and real and open to, like, being viewed as... complainy or wimpy or
fair.
Like, you know, because
yeah,
the
totally
people I've definitely seen that side too where you're like, oh, too much
yeah.
right you like dial it back, maybe think about, you know, because it you know, it is a scary thing. You are kind of opening yourself up to criticism and critique of your soul. But I do think sorry, I lost my train of thought a little bit. What was your original
question? Well, just that, you know, it being in rock and roll and
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. We were talking about this the other day. It's like back in the hair metal days, it's like rock and metal was about having a good time.
Yeah, right?
Everything was about fun and like, let's party. And I was like, I kind of missed that side. And then Nirvana showed up. Whole show's over, right? Yeah. Party's over. Like, I love Nirvana, but it was like, now we're moody,
yeah.
right? Like, it's not...
Totally, yeah.
Totally
Oh,
different.
We're in our feelings. Okay,
well,
all right.
Yeah, now we're moody, and now, like, being depressed is cool or
yeah.
something, you know?
Yeah. And or then, at least talked then, about all of a sudden.
And ever since then, there's been, like, this moody side of the genre, right? And so there's, like, this deeper element. And then and the funniest thing, too, I feel like this was very revealing. Like, a lot of the metal bands, like, aren't very metal nowadays. Like, even when the pandemic happened, I just was like, and again, I'm not getting political or anything like that,
totally.
But just how people would communicate or respond to things, I was like, all these metal bands don't seem metal, like, at all. Like, they're giving these guttural screams like they're demons out of hell, but really they're like, very, very nice people.
Well,
and also very delicate,
like-minded. You get into a mosh pit, madness. And you get out of the mosh
right.
pit, and it's like you're having a drink, and you're hugging, and it's like really soul-sensitive kind of.
It's very strange how over the years, how just trends and things and people like just blend all these different, I don't know. Yeah, metal, rock metal's gone through so many phases, you know. I don't even know where we're at now, so it's fun.
Just keep
doing our thing, you know.
Well, speaking of metal, let's talk about the Scorpion and the Bassinator. Let me read a quote and tell me if this is something that I don't know if it's offensive to you or if you like it.
It's pretty hard to offend me.
Okay,
it's all good.
You were described as your guys' band a mix between Blue Man Group and Rage Against the Machine. I read that.
All right. Yeah.
Is that exciting or do you go,
No, it makes sense. I mean, we do a lot of kind of borderline, like we make fun of ourselves, like
yeah.
almost like borderline cheesy, but fun, like show pieces where it's like I grew up in drumline. So I did a lot of like performance art kind of stuff.
Okay.
So that Las Vegas kind of show elementy thing,
yeah.
like we always felt like, we wanted to bring an element of that to what we do. Just make the show more interesting. Because
yeah.
we just felt like when we saw bands, we're like, I could have just listened to this in my car. You just stood there and played it,
yeah.
you know?
Well, the first time I saw the Scorpion, and I'll get our team to throw the picture up just in case anybody hasn't seen the Scorpion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The first time I saw it was actually on TikTok. I see it, and I'm like, what is this? I'm like, oh, it's nothing more. And like you're kind of watching, you're like, what? Can you explain the idea of coming
yeah.
up with that contraption? So what I read was 14 feet, 400 pounds. Is that true?
Did you say 400 pounds?
Yeah. That's what I read.
Somewhere around there, I guess.
That's
yeah.
what I read.
That sounds right.
Yeah. How do you come up with something
like
that?
You have to ask our bass player. He built it. basically, the short and the skinny of it was like I had this MIDI controller that looked like a video game controller.
Okay.
And all that basically means is it would send signals to the computers, and I had this idea to run the guitar and the bass and my vocal, run them all through the computer like an effects board,
yeah.
and just like DJs do, you know, when they're remixing stuff in real time. I was like, I want to remix a live band in real time,
okay.
you know, whereas DJs, you know, they're pressing buttons, but it's pre-recorded material. It's not people performing. And I was like, wonder if I could figure out a way with computers to use them as effects. So a lot of people get confused online. There's like people that, you know, people love to get in arguments online.
Of course,
if
yeah.
anything, it's good for us because the algorithm just, you know,
sure.
boosts engagement, right?
Sure.
Hate on us, please. You know, And so a lot of people will get it mistaken. They think it's an instrument, but what it actually is like a glorified effects pedal.
Okay.
So when I'm moving the levers, I'm pitching up or pitching down the guitars and my vocal, or when I hit some of the buttons, it's stuttering whatever they're playing. So if he hits a G chord, that G chord, it's going to grab it and go G, 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 G. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, or do a rhythm with it. So, and then I use that to kind of intermix with what they're playing. So it's like I'm playing the band.
That's how I'm glad you said that, because I was like, it does look like it is like the pedals, and that's what you're doing. Although getting up on it looks insanely dangerous. Every time I'm like, he's going to fall off this thing. Like, is this like sturdy? But
I have.
You have. Every time I'm like, whoa, okay, he's good. He's up there now.
There was one show I'll never forget. The guys told me before the show, like, something broke on there's like the catapult part of it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Something broke with it, and they're like, we can't do it tonight, but we have the drums up there, because there's drums built into it that I play on other parts of the song. So we get to the part of the song where I go up, and of course, when my show brain kicks in, it's like muscle memory. I don't remember anything we talked about. You know what I mean? All out the window. And so I go up and I grab the bar, and there's like this like lever that I pull that lets all the gas in to shoot it up.
Okay.
And I go to pull it, and I usually lean back because of the force going up. You know, it's just how it works.
Of course, yeah.
I lean back, and the whole thing just falls on straight on me. I'm like a cockroach, like on its back, you know, with this giant thing on me. And my bass player's like, oh, shit. He's throwing his bass off, trying to dig me out. So that was pretty embarrassing. But
so is it 400 pounds or not 400 pounds?
That's just one report.
That's what I read.
It's probably 400 with the catapult. But drum portion of it's probably 100 or two or something.
Okay.
Probably 100 something.
Yeah, fair enough. You guys have spent lots of time touring with different, like Chevelle, Disturbed, Papa Roach. I'd love to do really quickly is, can you build me your 3-band set? Okay, so just Saturday, there's going to be 3 bands playing in Las Vegas. Okay, Nothing More is one of them.
Okay.
You can put yourself wherever you want to put yourself. Who's the other two playing?
Ooh,
and the order.
This is tricky. I would say, and the order.
And the order. Where do you put yourselves?
Oh man, I got so many bands. If I'm doing like bands Alive or Dead or All Alive.
Sure. Yeah. Dealer's choice.
Okay. I would do Led Zeppelin and maybe Muse. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Of course we'd headline.
You're going to headline.
No, I'm just kidding. No, we shouldn't. We should open.
You're going to open? There's nothing wrong with opening, though. You're setting the tone.
Honestly, we'd open so we could party later.
Yeah.
And you not see feel the other, pressure.
Yeah, because then you get to see the other bands.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's such a hard question.
Yeah.
To narrow down. When people ask you, like, what's your favorite band? I'm like, I never had a favorite band. But maybe Tool. I'll add Tool as the surprised fourth act.
Oh, they're out there. They're showing up.
Yeah, they're showing up.
I can't wait. Saturday in Vegas. I can't wait, man. That's going to be incredible. You know, going back to the emotion that you guys convey through your music, I wanted to just there's a couple of things that stood out to me. There was you were talking in an interview, story about a couple that had met in rehab. That had met and bonded over your music.
This was,
I believe, with the Jed Foundation. You are doing an interview with them, and you were talking about a couple who had met in rehab over your guys' music.
Yeah.
And then I found this comment. I don't know if you've seen this comment or not. It read, "I just got out of prison after almost 2 years. I had a limited access to music. I was dying to get out and listen to this band. This is your band. I even got a prison tattoo of their 2-toned M. Anyways, I've never felt more attached to a music group as I do with these guys. The energy, the messages, the style, I love it." That's just two stories. If you were to go over your YouTube comments, you'd see many more like this. It's people just getting attached to your music through performance, lyrics, rehab, and in prison. Like, they're just listening to it. They're taking in the lyrics in tough, tough times. Can you just talk to the emotion? Because it's incredible to hear these people in these situations and what it's bringing out of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's very like rewarding, you know. excuse me. Yeah, when I've come to tears many, many times talking with people on the road who just pour their heart out, and you know, they tell you stuff they've gone through, and it makes you really go, wow, I thought I was having a tough time. Yeah. You know, these people have been through the ringer, and the fact that our music gave them strength, it's cool.
It's anything you could hope for, right?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I get emotional. Yeah.
No, that's
it's, you know, it's there was quite a few times we wanted to hang it up, you know.
Yeah.
But it's that stuff kind of fuels us.
Yeah.
You know,
no.
Our soul.
I totally hear you.
It's awesome.
I'll leave you with one more quote. All right, and you can tell me who said this quote. Okay.
Yeah.
And you can tell me what this quote means to you. When things seem especially rough, just ask yourself, did I shit my pants today? And if the answer is no, you're doing all right. Who said that?
Oh, man, I just posted that on my social media, but it was like...
That's where I got it from.
It was someone with a K.
Yeah.
Kessler? Or okay. Kessler? Kessler.
Kessler, okay.
I think it was Kessler.
Anyway,
is that right?
He saw it and he went, yeah, this speaks to me.
Yeah, I just went for the quote, you know? I didn't even... I was like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible. I appreciate you joining us. Of course, Spirits is the album. You can check it out. North American tour, nothing more. Johnny Hawkins, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, good talking with you, man.